Going to be in Philippians chapter 4, and just a couple of verses, chapter 4 verses, verses 4 to 7 that we're going to be looking at this morning. But let's pray just as we come into God's presence around his word together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is life to us. We thank you that you're the speaking God. You love to speak into our lives. You're good. You're so good. How often we just need to come to you and seek you, and how slow we can be to come and seek you when it seems so silly, because you're so good to us. You're so faithful to us. And just come and speak to us now as we come round your word, Lord. Come and speak to us about your peace, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to explore the idea that we experience a lot of We experience transformation in the Christian life when we learn to do two things. When we learn to let go instead of holding on. So that's one thing. We learn to let go instead of holding on. To explore this idea, I want to take some time to reflect on the idea of God's peace. Peace is a word that we associate with Christmas, and rightly so, because Christmas, there's lots to be going on about peace at Christmas. These words seem to come to mind. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to people he favors. However, to get us straight to the point of what I want to talk about, because we do have somewhat less time, I want to replace the word peace this morning with the word wholeness. And not a direct translation, but close enough to unpack what I think we need to look at this morning in the book of Philippians. We get this idea of wholeness from the Old Testament understanding of peace. The word, the Hebrew word for peace, as many of you will know, was a word called shalom. It was a word that described, it could be equally translated as welfare or wholeness or well-being. And the peace of God was not just a small thing or a light thing or a state of mind. The peace of God was everything the way it should be. The world the way it should be. Everything within our lives, the physical, the spiritual, the social, the economic, the way they should be. Together as a whole. And it's a wonderful concept. So the idea of peace or shalom being cracked or destroyed, example of this would be through illness. That would be an example of, if you have, you may be diagnosed with a terminal illness. It may be a sense of flu that's really bad for a season. That might be a temporary loss of shalom in that sense of the wholeness. But your body would be lacking shalom as you walk through for something that can't. Or something like just even the common flu. It's an example of what shalom is like when it goes wrong. It might even be just something that's straightforward, a lack of that wholeness, the peace of God, whenever we get into debt. Whenever we get into such debt that we cannot pay it back. And there's a sense at that point, there's something about the peace of God that was captured in the Old Testament that is cracked, is not as God designed it, not as it should be. It may be just emotionally we get broken for a season and our emotional life knows a lack of shalom, a brokenness, a lack of wholeness. See, peace of God is everything together the way it should be. A right relationship with God, a right being with ourselves physically, socially, emotionally, financially. And there's this wonderful sense in the Old Testament of the peace of God is an incredible thing. It is the world as it should be. It's ourselves as we should be. Together with God, together with each other. And so it's an incredible concept. So we're going to talk about the word in terms, we're going to change the word peace, and we're going to think about it in terms of wholeness, just for the remainder of our time. The New Testament prioritizes when it talks about peace, when it talks about the gospel of peace. It does this lots of different times. But it prioritizes the sense of peace as being something primarily about one's relationship with God. So when it talks about the gospel of peace or the wholeness that comes through the gospel, it's primarily thinking about mankind's relationship with God and how it is broken and how through the cross and through the forgiveness of Christ, it was put back together. So the peace of God, the shalom of God, primarily, most importantly, and fundamentally begins with reconciliation of humanity back with their Creator, God. But we also find in the New Testament that God cares. This backdrop of shalom, the wholeness, is as much there in the New Testament as it is in the Old Testament. Because even passages like Matthew 6, 25 to 34, which talks about your heavenly Father who knows your needs before you can even ask, He already knows what you need. He knows the number of hairs on your head, which for some of you is fading somewhat. I get a good view from up here. And He says in that, are you not so much of infinitely more value than even the sparrows, the birds of the air? Doesn't your heavenly Father care about all your needs? Financial, physical, clothing? Don't I care about everything about you? Not just the spiritual, not just your relationship with me, but I care about all of you. And so, in the New Testament, the peace of God, sure, is prioritized around this relationship with God, but the backdrop of the shalom of God is this wonderful picture of wholeness. And the New Testament affirms that God cares about all of us. All of you and every part of you, every part of your life. And so, with that in mind, let's turn and we'll read Philippians 4. And we're just going to read a few verses from verse 4 to 7. This is a letter of Paul. He says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. What if God is wanting to say to us this morning something about that experience of verse 7? That experience of a wholeness which comes from connecting more deeply with God the Father. A wholeness that comes from this deep connection through prayer with God the Father. I don't know about you, but Christmas to me can sometimes feel a wee bit like weddings. Weddings are great occasions, right? But the lead up to them, they can be somewhat stressful. And you do sometimes get to the point, particularly with weddings, where you're starting to think, man, I wish it had just gone simple. I wish it wasn't so stressful. And Christmas feels a wee bit like that to me. Just a slight aside, my advice for weddings, by the way, if you're a guy, is basically keep your head down. Keep your head down. And my one touchy point around our prep for a wedding was about the dessert. I really want the sticky toffee pudding. I ended up being told I don't want to mention any names. It wouldn't be fair to shame your mother-in-law. But apparently sticky toffee pudding's too heavy for a wedding day, so we ended up with profiteroles. And profiteroles it was. I was like, fine. Just keep your head down. But anyway, so these occasions, Christmas, weddings, whatever, they can somewhat stress us out. They can be all about a whole bunch of different things that can just stress us out. And what if actually God is wanting to move us in this season of Advent from anxiety and fear to a place of wholeness? And what if in order to do that, we need to let go of some stuff and stop holding on tight? Stop holding on tight to things that just are building up. And building up and starting to fill our heads. And we need to let go. Not let it go in terms of, you know, that frozen, you know, just let yourself go, your inhibitions go. That's not what we're talking about, okay? Just for the record. I don't know Frozen, by the way, but anyway, moving on. I just think there's something about season that God is saying there's more. And I think many of our trials in the Christian life would be transformed somewhat if we could just let go and stop holding on. And I believe there's more. And there's this letter that Paul was writing. Many of you will know this. He was writing it as he was in prison. Paul was in a waiting season, and not the waiting season that is a sort of good waiting season. He was waiting for his execution. And so in many ways, Paul, his letting go as he was writing this letter is an incredibly poignant moment. He was letting go, and he knew it, of his life. And he was writing to this church in Philippi, I think largely to assure them that all will be well. And for Paul, it wasn't just pie in the sky. It will all be well in the end, though he did believe that it would end well because of his eternal hope in Jesus. For Paul, he was trying to get these Philippians to think, it's going to end well. But he's saying, be filled with peace. Be filled with hope now. It's not just about a sense that your future's okay, so in some sense it's hunkered down and long for heaven. He's saying, practice heaven now. And in verse 20 of chapter 3, Paul says this, but our citizenship is in heaven. And some of you will remember the backdrop to that. That citizenship was this idea of a Roman colony. So basically, a Roman colony was this idea that what a Roman citizen would do is wherever they would go, they would bring the reign and the ways of Rome, and they would extend it further and further away. So the basic idea was not wherever you go, we long to be in Rome. The basic idea was wherever we go, we bring the principles, the reality, the reign of Rome to wherever we are. And Paul was saying, it's not just a case of longing someday for heaven and only hoping for heaven in the future. He's also saying heaven is coming here now. You are to be a colony and a foretaste of what heaven is going to be like. Practice heaven now. And he says, be filled with hope. I don't know about you, but I could do a wee bit more of that. The future, that future glory that God has for us, breaking into the here and now. And the present. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear comes to mind. And so obviously for Paul, one of the challenges of the church in Philippians was that was disrupting this idea of wholeness among his congregation was a disagreement between two women that we didn't read, but in the couple of verses before that, Euodia and Syntyche were two women that Paul was kind of not telling off, but he was saying, come on, just come on. And we're not going to kind of go into that, but there's a sense that the peace was worked out among each other. The wholeness was meant to be worked out on the horizontal. And he basically, in this letter, is saying to these two women, he names them in the letter as a sign of affection to say, come on, just don't major over minor things. Just be at peace, be at one with one another. But then he also goes on about that sense of wholeness, about how we relate to one another, to talk about the more immediate, a different problem. And he goes on to talk about actually anything that disrupts our sense of wholeness, our peace. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Anything. anything means like, I don't know what it leaves. It doesn't leave very much out. Anything means everything you can think of. Do not be anxious about anything. And so Paul starts to address not just peace among each other in his congregation. He starts to talk about a peace that needs to come from within. A wholeness that comes from within. And the path to this wholeness in the Christmas story is so simple. But although it's simple, it's not necessarily easy. The Christmas story tells us wholeness begins with finding Jesus, right? So the shepherds did, the wise men did. Wholeness begins with finding Jesus. The Bible teaches that there is no wholeness without knowing Jesus. If you do not know Jesus, you do not know the wholeness and the peace of God. There's more. There's more to be get. The wholeness comes from our relationship with Jesus. Wholeness comes as a gift from God, the gift of a baby boy, the Son of God that came down and became a human form. Came as a gift. It couldn't be earned. You can't earn the wholeness. You can't earn this relationship with God. It comes as a gift. And the wholeness is not only a gift from God, it is a gift that is open to all who will receive the gift. Jesus. The favor rests on all who will receive Jesus. And so wholeness, the Christmas story tells us wholeness begins with finding Jesus. Wholeness comes as a gift from God. Wholeness is open to all who will receive his forgiveness. But there's an invitation in this passage in Philippians, which is meant to help us figure out and help them figure out how wholeness gets lived out or worked out in our everyday lives. Because this is where the rubber hits the road for lots of us, isn't it? We know lots of stuff. We know that we've got peace with God. But my goodness, from day to day in our ordinary lives, anxiety, stress, anxious thoughts can just fill up our lives and kill our joy and kill our Advent and kill our Christmas and kill our singing and our songs. And God is saying, I just want you to let go of some stuff. I just want you to let go of some stuff. There's an invitation in this passage which I think is meant to help us figure out what it means to live this stuff out. However, the invitation in verse 6 is entirely predicated on the idea Paul emphatically states at the end of verse 5. Look again with me if you will. And so in light of the fact of what he says, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. God understands. God knows. He knows everything. He sees everything. He's in control of everything. He never sleeps or slumbers. He never takes his eye off you. He will never give up on you. The Lord is near. And Paul, before he tells the Philippians what they should do, he's just saying, look, this is all based on the fact. You need to understand this. You need to understand that God knows you well, that God is close to you, that he understands more of you than you could ever imagine. He understands the details of your lives, and he's not remote and far away. He is near. He is close. And so in light of the nearness of God, Paul goes on. And he paints the picture of an invitation to connect more deeply with our Father God. And he just says it quite simply like this. Let your requests be made known. Let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests be made known to God, your Father, who cares for you, who loves you. As Kim said, because he loves you. Let your request be made known to him. And Paul, this is the incredible invitation just to let go, to come to God and connect more deeply with him. And Paul gives some instruction on how to do this. Now, it can sound a bit mechanical. You can make it sound mechanical that there's some sort of formula where you have to give thanks to a certain degree and this is that way then God hears it. But it's not really about that. I think Paul is just saying you offer prayers of supplication with thanksgiving, because when you come and do that, when you come and give thanks for what God, who God is, what he's done, it's funny how sometimes just circumstances change. Just, do you ever have that experience when you're just praying about something and you start to somehow choose to give thanks for what he has done, for who he is? You start to look at the problem differently. No? Okay. Sometimes that happens to me. And I think there's just something about lifting your eyes off the immediate circumstances and lifting them to God changes something when we come. And then here's a radical idea, right? Are you ready for this? Drum roll, here's the radical idea. It's in the context of prayer where God does stuff. It's in the context of prayer where God does stuff, where things change, when stuff happens. That's where it happens. When we come before God, our Father, and we just pour out our hearts to him. When we pour out our hearts to him. Do you know when we do that? I think God's Spirit, this is the context where God's Spirit just rubs his hands and says, great. Absolutely great. I will not force myself on anybody. But whenever you come and whenever you give permission, whenever you come and say to God, I want you. I need to give this stuff to you. The Spirit of God loves that because He loves to come and say to you, you are loved. It's His ministry to say, you are loved. You are cherished. You belong to me. You're a child of God. You're adopted into my family. You are loved. Nothing can separate you from the love that is in Christ Jesus and the Spirit of God. That's what He loves to do. He loves to just let you know that you're loved, that you're secure, that nothing can separate you, that no harm can come to you. When you come to God in prayer, stuff happens. Things change. People's lives change. Your life changes. Sometimes the circumstances just remain when you let go. And as Paul says, it's like whenever you do that, maybe a journey, maybe a process, it's a lifelong process, but when you come to and you learn to do that, like just giving of yourself truly and honestly to God, it's like he wants to put a guard on your life. It will guard your heart, the seat of your emotions, and it will guard your mind. Sometimes our minds are just buzzing with stuff. Do you ever get that? You're trying to sleep at night and you can't sleep because you've just been one of those days. Your mind's filling up with this stuff. And God wants to put a guard on our hearts and on our minds. It's an incredible picture of an incredible God who's incredibly loving and caring. What are the things then that are robbing you of wholeness, of well-being? The things that are causing you to feel defeated or anxious or stressed? Here's another question. What do you not want to give to God that you know you need to give to God in order to experience greater wholeness? What do you not want to give to God that you know you need to give to God in order to experience greater wholeness? Because this moment, I think this whole thing about this moment in prayer when you let go, when you come and you pour out your prayers of supplication with thanksgiving and you experience the peace of God, that only works if you're letting go and you're coming and giving Him the real stuff. The real you, the real issues. It doesn't work if you come and go through a religious motion and experience that just says, I am going to do my prayers, I am going to do my duty, I am going to do my thing. The Spirit doesn't work in kidology. He doesn't work like that. He comes in as we come honestly of who we are. And it says here, this is not my words. This is the promises of God before us. He wants to work mysteriously in a way that surpasses our understanding to give us His peace, His wholeness. Recognizing He cares about every part of our life and He wants to put a guard around us. God cares about all of you. And He wants to minister to all of you. All of you in the sense of all of you, everybody in this room, and all of you in the sense of every part of your life, God cares about. And I think God is just, when you come into this season of Advent, see when you come into all this season of that could just get, carry arms and legs, as you go to the family thing where there's stress, there's maybe broken relationships, there's maybe, you know the way there's tensions of these things that I don't know about your family, but sometimes you just don't talk about them. There's so many different scenarios we get. Work, we just stop from work and stress fills our minds. And just God saying, let it go. Let it go. It's not that long ago. I can still remember a time, Claire, I don't think it's in the room, but I've told you this before. It was before we were married when we started going out. Claire dumped me on my birthday and it's like, you know, thanks very much. Great day for that. But I remember that season where it was really important. It's just one of the clearest moments in my life where I just felt God was saying to me, you need to let go. You just need to let go. And look how well it worked out for Claire. I mean, didn't she do well? and I can still remember that moment where as an 18-year-old, and I just knew stuff needed to change between us and all that stuff. And I just knew I needed to let go of something and give it to God. And I did experience the peace on my birthday on my own. No, I had friends, I promise. And I think God wants that for us. I think God wants good things for us. He doesn't want us to come into church feeling heavier and heavier and heavier. He comes to give a burden that is like, he will lift us. He wants to lift us. I just noticed on this one set of the lectionary Advent readings that I was following, it included this passage that I want to conclude with. Sing, daughter Zion, shout aloud, Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. He's near. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord, your God, is with you. The mightier warrior who saves, he will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. What an incredible picture of the kindness and the care of God. I think we should walk a little lighter through Advent. I think we need to let go of some stuff. I think we need to connect more deeply with our Father instead of holding on. And may the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, surround you. The Lord Jesus is near. Amen. Let's pray together.